You are back in session at 10:03. Dr. Cornwell?
All right. Item number 4A2, case number 19-53, Mithali Patel, physical therapist. Is an informal hearing, right? So, Ms. Patel, are you here?
I'm here.
And do you have counsel or anyone else that will be speaking?
No, it's just me.
Okay. So, I have a script to read, but we also need to let's introduce the members of the board and staff and council.
Board President, Dr. Cornwell.
Present.
Public member, Mr. Greer.
Present.
Professional member, Dr. King.
Present.
Professional member, Ms. Hunter.
Present.
Public member, Mr. Clinton.
Present.
Professional member, Dr. Bastillo.
Present.
Staff member, Ms. Chepius.
Present.
Staff member, Ms. Cardoza.
Present.
Staff member, Ms. Crowley.
Here.
Staff member, Ms. Richardson. Staff member, Ms. Richardson.
Present.
Assistant Attorney General, Mr. Harris.
Here.
And I'm Karen Donahue, Executive Director.
Okay, so let's swear in everyone who is going to give testimony. So, Ms. Patel, if you'd raise your right hand, and then Mindy, are you going to be?
Yes. Speaking?
Okay, so both of you raise your hand. Do you both swear to tell the truth and the whole truth and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Ms. Patelli, Ms. Richardson, thank you.
Okay, I have a script I need to read, and then if you'd like, you may make a statement, Ms. Patel. The purpose of an informal hearing is to hear relevant facts by way of testimony and exhibits to determine if a violation of any of the board's statutes or rules has occurred. If the board finds a violation, it may take any or all of the following disciplinary action. 1, issue a decree of censure. 2, place restrictions upon a licensee's practice. 3, issue a civil penalty of not more than $500. 4, issue other disciplinary action. 5, issue a non-disciplinary order requiring completion of continuing education as specified by the board. If the board finds the violation or possible violation of statute or rule is not sufficiently serious to warrant disciplinary action, the board may issue a non-disciplinary advisory letter. If the board finds that there was no violation of the board's statutes and rules, the board may dismiss the case. If the board finds that the violations warrant suspension or revocation of the license, the board shall vote the matter to a formal hearing. So let's, if you'd like to make a statement, you're welcome to do so.
Hello everyone, my name is Mithali. I don't know what else to say for now, so I will wait until the end.
That's fine. We will likely have some questions for you, and are you okay with answering questions?
Yes.
Okay. So does any of the board members have any questions they'd like to ask?
Dr. Cornwell, would you like a summary of the allegations?
I would, thank you.
So complaint 1953 was opened after review of complaint 1916, Carl Momquist. The allegations include ARS 3224044, engaging in the performance of substandard care by a physical therapist due to a deliberate or negligent act or failure to act, regardless of whether actual injury to the patient is established. ARS 3224414, making misleading, deceptive, untrue, or fraudulent representations in violation of this chapter and the practices of the profession. ARS 32-204416, aiding or abetting a person who is not licensed or certified in this state who directly or indirectly performs activities requiring a license or certificate. ARS 3224417, failing to report to the board any direct knowledge of an unprofessional, incompetent, or illegal act that appears to be in violation of this chapter of board rules, and 3224044, failing to maintain adequate patient records.
All right, now, does anyone have any questions?
Ms. Patel, this is Peggy Hunter. Just from the investigative report, it shows that you're really lacking in your documentation. Would you like to address that in evaluations and what you did, et cetera?
Yes. So I'm going to start from the beginning. I graduated in 2018 from a school in New York, and I started working as a traveler right after. My first assignment as a traveler was in a skilled nursing facility. And after that, I came to Arizona. And that was my first assignment as a PT in a outpatient clinic. When we first took the job in Arizona, we made sure that we have a clause in there where they agreed to give us an orientation since we were new grads, and we wanted, even if it was a day orientation, just to make sure that we know exactly what's expected and where everything is, how the EMR is, how the documentation is, who's the staff member, just like a general orientation. And when we accepted the job, they said they would provide with one since we are new grads and we needed a little bit more than a seasoned PT would. The first day I walk in, I was just given a computer and I was given a list of patients. It was about 14 to 15 patients that I didn't know. And no one was there to kind of tell me where to start. So I had to do everything on my own, which was very, very overwhelming, very stressful. The first day, very scary almost. I don't remember doing evaluation on my first day, but I did start evaluating second or third day. The first day was mostly patients for a regular treatment session. When it comes to evaluations, I like to go through all the SOAP, subjective, objective, assessment, and then plan. Since it was a new EMR, I was still finding my way through it, which clearly, as you can see, didn't do me any good. I wanted to be more thorough with my hands-on as well. So I don't do any harm to the patients. I was more attentive to the clinical aspect to it, I should say, and building that connection with the patient that I wanted to build at the first treatment. I was more wanted to make sure that, you know, I'm giving the right treatment necessary for that patient on that first day, starting and continuing. And that's what I try to do to the best of my ability. Did that answer your question? I'm sorry.
It did. Did you ever take your concerns to Mr. Malquest?
So the first day when I was there, he didn't show up. I was greeted by Faith, who was the office manager. Mr. Malmquist actually never showed up until a couple weeks into my assignment there. And he stayed for like 5 or 10 minutes over lunch break and he left. He was just still Did you find your computer? Was everything all right? I did mention the concern of not getting an orientation to my recruiter, and the recruiter was supposed to contact the place and figure things out, but they never did, because the recruiter is like, oh, I did talk to them, but they're like, oh, they're into the fourth week of their assignment already. So we can't really do much anymore. I did ask questions whenever I had them to the fellow PTs. They were working there, and they were actually helpful as to what I should be filling up and what should I be looking. What I did not do, and I should have done now that I realize it, is that I should have asked questions directly to Carl, based on what the requirements or what they wanted, what their basic day-to-day flow is like. Now I realize that I should have done that, and I didn't. I usually had questions at the moment, and because they were time sensitive, I just asked them to the fellow PTs. I think it was Dylan working over there. And I trusted them because they had been doing that much longer than I had been doing it, which was like 2 weeks.
I'm going to interrupt.
I'm sure it was very stressful there.
Ms. Hunter, I'm going to interrupt you for a minute to let you know that Ms. Remick has joined the meeting at 10:13 a.m.
Okay. I'm sure it was very stressful there. I'll let the PTs on the board address this. But did you take documentation in school? Because some of these things that you left out are pretty basic.
It wasn't a thorough formal class that we did in school. It was just an explanation, a basic, oh, this is what the documentation looks like. This is what you have to do.
Okay, thank you, ma'am.
It wasn't a class. Thank you.
Hi, Mitali, it's Kelly King. Along the same lines about the documentation course, certainly you completed all your clinical education hours where you most likely expanded in depth on what needs to be included in an evaluation in order to create a plan of care and establish goals. Is that correct?
That is correct. But every EMR is different. I was not trained on the EMR that we used. I just wanted a formal, this is what it looks like. This is where everything's put in. We need this to be filled out, and that would have been a little more helpful in the situation with everything else that was there.
Yeah,
with all the stress that was there, a little bit more helpful. It would have pointed me in the right direction where I could have avoided those errors.
So let me make sure I understand what you're saying. Your documentation is limited by the EMR that you're using.
I just wanted a little bit more introduction to the EMR so I could be more thorough.
And how long did you work there?
I worked for about 4 months. I'm not sure around that time.
Okay. Just for my clarification, so over the 4 months, your documentation was limited based on the orientation that you did not receive when you first started there. Is that correct, what you're saying?
I think I did improve a little bit more as I got a little bit more familiar with the EMR. But I would have, I personally think that I would have been more attentive to it if I was provided with some kind of formal introduction to it.
Okay, thank you.
I think that I think the question we're trying to get answers to is that, is your poor documentation a reflection of you don't know how to document, or is it a reflection of you didn't do everything that you were supposed to do in the evaluation? So, for example, you have two patients where the reevaluation was incomplete. Is it incomplete because you didn't do it, or is it incomplete because you couldn't figure out where to document it?
I do not know exactly what patients they are, but I made sure that all the objectives and the subjective were taken and they were informed to the patient to see, to make them understand where they are in their treatment. I honestly do not remember. As to why I didn't put them in. Because even now when I practice, I make sure that everything that I took or that I did with the patient is there on there.
Okay. Where are you working currently?
I am working at an outpatient clinic currently. I have a permanent position over here. I stopped traveling last year. And after that, I came back home, which is Illinois for me. And I started working here right before COVID started.
Okay. So you've got a permanent position. You're not traveling.
No. Okay.
I was, when you showed up on day one expecting to have an orientation and didn't get one, didn't that seem like a red flag to you? Like, I don't know that this is a good place for me to be.
I talked to the other PTs over there and they said they weren't given any kind of formal orientation either. And they're like, oh, we'll help you. We'll help you with any questions you have, so just ask us. And honestly, I was just overwhelmed with the clinical aspect of it, where I wanted to make sure that I knew the patients. So I took my lunch break, studied on the patient. I stayed after hours just to make sure that I know who the patient was, who I was seeing the next day, what their diagnosis was or what their or what treatment they were receiving, where they were at, and all of that. So it did come to my mind that not getting an orientation is not a good thing, but I was so occupied with the other things where, oh, I have to do this. I have to make sure that I don't do harm to the patient. So I need to know where the patient's coming from. That occupied me so much that I didn't fully think through if this was the right place for me or not.
I mean,
you're
a new graduate.
Yes. With,
and you admit that your program, wherever that was, didn't even have a formal course in documentation. You show up expecting an orientation and then find out not only didn't you get one, but nobody else got one either. It seems to me that should have been red lights and the sirens going off in your head.
Yes, now that you mention, you're right. It should have been. I should have maybe, you know, not taken the assignment, now that I realize that.
What other questions does anybody on the board have?
I have a question, Dr. Cornwall. Ms. Patel, this is Peggy Hunter. So in the investigative report, patient MR, there's quite a few things that the investigator identified that were done that weren't even assessed. I mean, there has to be a reason why you're doing something. And I'm going to give you a scenario. If I am a PTA, if I came in and looked at this chart and said, okay, stretching, and it's not, hasn't even been, the body part has not even been assessed, I wouldn't do it. So your chart has to reflect the ability for somebody else to do the work.
You're correct, Ms. Hunter.
Okay. I mean, this is a learning process for you, I hope.
It is definitely a learning process. I'm learning every day and all making right. changes accordingly. I'm so
Thank
sorry.
You, ma'am.
So this is Karen Bustillo. I have one question. Several times with several different patient records, we have multiple units of therapeutic exercise build with somewhere between 4 and 6 exercises for each one of those patients. Were you billing based on what had been done previously, or were you informed by others to bill in this manner?
I mostly followed what everyone else was doing with billing because, and then I also followed the time in, time out. Some patients did require more time to finish an exercise than the others. Also, at the clinic that I was at, there was a lot of translation issues too. So it did take a little bit more to explain what I was trying to get through to the patient sometimes because I wasn't fluent in Spanish. So I had to maybe do a visual cue or actually do the exercise myself to let them know what exactly I wanted them to do. So that required a little bit more time, even if it was 6 exercises. So that might have been one of the factors as to why it was built that way.
Okay, because if one or two times you even have timing that you spent 25 minutes of direct contact to do 5 exercises when you build 3 units, which seems to be a bit of an overcharge there.
Oh. I honestly don't remember.
Okay. All right.
I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Any other? Anyone else? Okay, Ms. Patel, we're winding up. Is there anything else you'd like us to know?
Yes. The place that I work at now has a lot of learning in place where we have meetings with her clinic director every couple weeks. Right now it's 3 weeks. It used to be 2 weeks before COVID, but since the COVID hit, our patient load is a little less. So it's every 3 weeks now where you can directly ask questions, have them look at something that you are not sure about. And I work with people who've worked for 20 more years. So I have people who can direct me exactly where I am not doing good and tell me to improve in those areas. I have also proactively been double checking my work now since I got the letters. I made sure that I double check everything I do before I sign it off. I am very, very, very precise about why I am doing the exercise, and I put that in my assessment now. I know before I wasn't as thorough, but I feel like I should be so that whoever takes my patient later on has a good idea or understanding as to why the patient required these exercises or why the patient reacted this way to the exercise. And I have people to bounce ideas off of and to discuss if I am stuck at a point where I don't know what to do going forward. I've also taken measures to make sure that my planning director checks my documentation so that if I am missing something, she can tell me or let me know that you need to improve in this area, so I make sure that the same mistake doesn't happen again. And I'm open to taking any other courses or any other CEUs that you would suggest at this point. And I am learning every day, and I will make sure that I do better every day from now on. And I have I have MedBridge subscription to work, so they don't have any specific CEUs for documentation. I was looking for them, actually. I couldn't find any. So I was going to wait until September, because that's when the Illinois CEU cycle starts, for it to consider towards my CEU hours and take courses, even if the board meeting was not happening on this day. That was on my agenda, because I sincerely think I can do better, and I should.
I'm glad you're in a place where you've got more support, and it makes me wish that you had taken that as your first job.
It makes me wish that too. Yeah. I honestly think that would have been an amazing start.
How often do you and your director go over your charts?
We started doing that when I first started. So I would just tell her that, we have a sitting meeting where we can discuss things that I am struggling for. And that's when she would ask. And then I would be like, can you just review my chart and see if I'm missing anything, if I need to correct anything, if I need to change anything or add something. And then she would do that. Now it used to be twice every month. Now it's once every month, since our patient load is a little less. But it will ramp up to twice once we do have more patients.
Okay.
It's in place for every new hire for a couple months, where you have this standards you have to meet. You are basically working on probation, where you have to have a sit down with someone, your superior, where you ask questions, they ask you questions and ask you what you did, why you did.
Okay. All right. Thank you. All right. So we are at a point where I could use a motion. Anybody want to start with a motion with the findings of fact?
Hi, it's Kelly. I would like to start with a motion for findings of fact. Based on the investigative report for A, all of the details, and E, all of the details.
Okay.
Is there a second?
The second, we're in discussion about the phone.
I'm sorry, who's second?
Bustillo.
Thank you, Karen.
Any discussion about the current motion? I'll call the question then.
The motion before you is to accept findings of fact under A, engaged in the performance of substandard care, number one, A through C, and E, failing to maintain adequate patient records, which is number one, A through E. Dr. Cornwell.
Yes.
Mr. Greer.
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
Ms. Remick? Ms. Remick?
Abstain.
Mr. Clinton?
Yeah.
Dr. Bastia?
Yes.
The motion passes. You're on conclusions of law.
Thank you. So I would like to make a motion that we find conclusions of law for ARS 32-2044 4 and ARS 32-2044 20.
Second.
Any discussion about this motion?
It's been moved and seconded to accept conclusions of law ARS 2044 engaging in the performance of substandard care by a physical therapist due to a deliberate or negligent act or failure to act, regardless of whether actual injury to the patient is established, and 2044-20 failed to maintain adequate records. Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
Ms. Remick?
Abstain.
Mr. Clinton?
Yes.
Dr. Bastia?
Yes.
The motion passes. You are at your board order.
I'd like to make a motion that the board order for probation for 24 months that includes 6 hours of continuing education for documentation and 6 hours of continuing education for billing that need to be completed within 6 months of their probation. And then monitoring.
How long?
3 months.
Second.
Ms. Hunter seconds. You're in discussion.
And eligible for early termination.
Thank you. And courses can be taken online.
Yes. Yes.
The courses would still have to be approved by staff. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Thank you.
And the person who did the monitoring is that's approved by staff, isn't it?
The board has approved 2 different monitoring groups. She'll be able to choose between the 2.
All right. So using her current supervisor probably wouldn't count.
It could if the board would allow it to count.
Well, I would like the staff to be able to make that be as a discretion, depending on who that staff person or the supervisor is and their qualifications, that might be worthwhile. Or appropriate, let's put it that way.
Dr. King, do you agree?
Yes, I do.
Ms. Hunter, second on the motion, do you agree?
I do agree.
Okay, so any other comments, questions, amendments? If not, we can call a question.
The motion before you for complaint 1953, Mitali Patel, PT, is for a board order to include probation for 24 months with early termination available, 6 hours of documentation, 6 hours of billing, 6 months to complete online, monitoring for 3 months with the modification that it can be outside of the 2 approved monitors with staff agreement. Dr. Cornwell.
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
Ms. Remick?
Abstain.
Mr. Clinton?
Yes.
Dr. Bastia?
Yes.
The motion passes. Ms. Patel will be in contact with you shortly.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. All right,
we're going to pause.
Okay.
Go ahead.
No, I was just gonna, if you need to pause, let's pause.
I didn't know if you wanted to go into a break at this point or just stop and restart the...
Kind of, how does everybody feel? I could use a quick break.
Sounds great.
All right.
So we're going to take a break at 10:38. How long would you like that break to be, Dr. Cornwell?
5 minutes, okay?
Yes.
5 minutes. Yes. We'll reconvene at 10:43.
Okay.